Audio that's made for Mackay and Lewitt Sundays, all in one place. This is everything Mackay and Lewitt Sundays.
G'day, Mackay and Lewitt Sundays. Jane Dave here with our Everything Mackay with Sundays podcast. Show number 2,944.
That's a lot of shows, over 14 odd years.
Well, you know, in particular, the Friday show, we had Professor Matthew Warren on the air. Now, this is something that I am not scared about, but I wonder if it's going to happen for us.
Yeah.
Will we lose TikTok in Australia? America is looking at turfing it.
Yeah.
If that was the case, they're saying that Australia should follow suit. Now, Anthony Albanese, our Prime Minister, he says there's no plan to get rid of it.
But he's already banned the government phones from having TikTok on there.
Yeah, but that's different, though.
Okay. That's because of security concerns, right?
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Now, what's going to happen with you? You've got 30-odd thousand followers, haven't you?
Over a combined 6 or 7 accounts, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
They'll all be devastated, I'm sure. Like, if we were to get rid of TikTok, they're like, what is that guy from Triple M in Lithuania doing? Yeah. They don't even know where I am, so I think they'll be fine.
I did notice, I did some research. If you have 1 million followers, that is roughly about $6,000 a paid post.
Correct.
So you're trying to get some money out of it, or are you just doing it for fun?
I get paid too much here at the radio station.
Jeez. Someone's on the big bucks.
Or I'm a really good liar, one of the two. So that was on the air. Who else made the podcast?
Look, Ivor Davies. Icehouse are actually headlining the Legends on the Lawn coming up in June. Mm. So we had a chat with him. Steve Smith from Mackay Police talking about a scam that's doing the rounds at the moment. You've got to be very careful on this one.
Of course.
And a message, an email came into us from Kelsey about banning utes and large SUVs in the Mackay CBD, but also Airlie Beach, where she's based.
Boy, did that open up a can of worms on our Facebook page. But here it is now on our Everything Mackay with Sundays podcast.
Jay and Dave for breakfast.
Mackay and the Wit Sundays, Triple M.
So excited to see Ivor Davies and the band. Mate, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Mate, can we say, when we saw Icehouse, part of Legend on the Lawn, and we knew about the lineup a couple of weeks ago, it was we suck at keeping secrets. It was so hard for us to sit on that. How exciting is it for you to be teaming up with a lot of these Aussie artists for Legend on the Lawn?
Oh, amazing. I'm just looking at the list now, and I got to say, I'm so looking forward to Jet and actually Baby Animal. Oh, they're all brilliant.
That's like asking who your favourite child is.
You do like a lot of bands, especially like the up-and-coming bands as well, like Lime Cordial. They were in Mackay last year. Mm. You're a fan of theirs as well.
I'm kind of the guy that discovered them, actually. It was a most bizarre, unlikely thing. Somehow or other, I got sucked into being a judge at my tiny local RSL club for a talent contest, which was, as I say, the most unlikely thing. And Ollie and Louis, they weren't allowed to have bands on. It was such a tiny little RSL, there just wasn't room. So there were just these two mad guys, basically. And I just sort of fell in love with them. And then they went, and there's a band. And I went, what? So anyway, I took them into the studio, recorded their first three recordings they ever did. And we're catching up. I was going to catch up with them on Friday, actually. So they're busy boys.
Yeah. The studio, is that the home studio?
Yeah, actually, the home studio is a building site at the moment. I decided in a fit of madness that after 31 years, everything had to go and start again. So literally, as we speak, there's a builder up there with all sorts of nasty-looking power tools.
But what a great view on Whale Beach.
Yeah, it's a fantastic spot. I mean, that was the thing. I kind of looked at it and went, you know what, 31 years ago I built this and I haven't touched a thing. It's about time this got a bit of a freshen up, I reckon.
No, but how do you rest, though? I know, like last year, I was reading that you got COVID. You weren't able to sing for a few weeks. Did you use that forced time to just detach and try and get stuff done?
Well, I had a whole bunch of stuff. Like, during the longer lockdown, I did some really mad stuff. So one of the really mad things that I did was, for years and years and years and years in my son's bedroom, I had this Mesa Boogie guitar amplifier, which coincidentally was the one I recorded Great Southern Land with. And he learned how to play the guitar as he was growing up as a teenager, and I didn't use it. And I looked at it during the lockdown and I went, hey, that's a really great amplifier. I should be using these live. And so I found another one in Paris, and I found one in Perth, and they had to be completely rebuilt. And so that became a real kind of epic COVID lockdown mission. And so now they're the two amplifiers that I'm using live. So they will be there in Mackay.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. You said your son learnt the guitar. You, very early on, I think 7 years of age, you started you learning the bagpipes. Is that right?
Yeah, you're finding all the really mad things I've done. So.
Not only bagpipes,
he's kind of like a stalker.
Else.
He's a stalker. He finds out all this sort of stuff.
I told you, I'm a fan.
Well, you know, I grew up in country Wagga Wagga, and like a lot of country, it was a city officially by then, but we call it a town. They'll hate me forever. and it had one main street, and I was actually much smaller than that. I was about four, according to my father, and there must have been some kind of, I don't know, Easter parade or Christmas or something going on. Maybe it was Anzac Day. And I heard this distant kind of groan of a sound start up. And then there they were or the in their kilts and the whole works with the drumsticks twirling. And I bizarrely fell in love completely with the bagpipes. And I hounded my parents. And the local pipe major said, come back when he's seven because his hands are too small. And I waited and waited and waited. And I learned how to play the bagpipes.
At the age of that, four.
Like, it
is
ridiculous. Are you supposed to blow into that bag, keep it inflated, play the instrument? Like, it's just three. I cannot do two things at once, let alone three things at once. That is complicated.
And walk and march at the same time.
Yeah, hell no.
Okay, well, just strike that off that list.
And I still have that little. It's actually a three-quarter size set of pipes, and I've still got them somewhere. And in fact, they turned up. If you listen to a song from an album called Wind and Code Blue is the name of the album. The song, beginning of the song, Wind and Stale. I'm there, kind of lurking, actually playing the bagpipes. Believe it or not.
Oh wow. Okay, there you go.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
They made their way onto an Ice House recording eventually.
Hopefully you bring those up with you to Legends on the Lawn because I want to hear that. I also want to hear Man of Colours, my favourite Ice House song. Ivor Davies, mate, thank you so much.
That's a pleasure.
Jay and Dave for breakfast.
Mackay and the Wit Sundays, Triple M.
It is time for Cop Chat with Steve Smith from Mackay Police. Good morning, buddy.
Morning.
Good morning to you both. How are you?
Oh, good. Well, I was waiting to see your award that you won. The two awards that, you know, do you have like a big medal or something you have to wear around now, Steve?
Not quite, no. Okay. I've got them sitting in my drawer in the cupboard back in the office.
Oh, good. What's the point of that? Show it. Show and tell, buddy.
I won the Mackay Pride Award a few years ago from the council, and quite often, if I have every opportunity to whip that out, Steve, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
What is that? Is it literally a medallion?
It's a medallion, Okay. So it doesn't get me free coffee or anything like that. So.
He wears it when he gets on planes.
And people have no idea what it is. But, mate, congratulations on your awards last week, which we spoke to you about. But there's something going around our region at the moment that our locals need to know about, right?
Exactly, especially if you're someone that travels by air transport often, and that is a lot of people in this area. So question for you, Dave, because you're nearest to me.
Right.
SMS. What does that stand for?
Short message service.
Oh, you're the first person of the last 10 that I've asked that actually knows the answer to that question.
Really?
That's well done. Most people aren't.
It's only because I put it into a trivia package 2 weeks ago.
So what I'm talking about, it's and if you follow our Facebook page for the district, My Police Macabre Centre, you would have seen this. If you haven't, you need to tune in, especially if you fly. So smishing is a term that's attributed to an activity that scammers do by way of text message. And there is something happening in that space in this area right now that's very active, and it's targeting people who fly.
You're right.
And it's catching people out. And it is catching, but it's hurting people. So text messages are being received en masse at the moment, and the message actually says something along the lines of that you can check in to your flight now, and this is specific to certain airlines. I don't want to name the airlines because I don't want, you know, if you sling mud at something, sometimes it sticks, and they are not doing anything wrong. It's the scammers who are using their credibility to catch people out. So the message literally says, and it's worded very authentically, that you can check in now by way of this link and check the carry-on luggage circumstances for this flight by clicking another link.
Yeah, right.
Now, the nastiness happens when you actually click the link. So you can either, by clicking the link, it can do one of two things. You can download a virus onto your device, whether it's a mobile phone or a laptop or, you know, a tablet, whatever.
Yeah.
So that can happen when you click the link, and it has happened. But typically what it will do is redirect you to another website that looks authentic but is not real. It's one that's been created by the, you know, the scammers, the criminals.
Yeah.
And you would be required to submit some information on that fake website, which could be compromising and basically amounts to identity crime. So,
but wouldn't that be the first sign that something's dodgy? Because wouldn't the airline already have your information that you're just confirming that you're catching that flight?
Yeah, well, most, if you stop and think,
yeah,
I guess some people will figure that out and say, you know, that doesn't make any sense. I don't think I can go any further, but not everyone does.
Yeah, right.
And so if you're receiving this message and your flight is within the next 12 hours, and it's blind luck, they're not targeting you because they know you're on a flight. They're just sending out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these messages
and
in the hope.
And some of those people will be flying out.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And
so
some people are.
It's the numbers game.
It's the numbers game. That's what it is. They're not specifically targeting you, Dave, because you're going on a flight in 3 hours. But if you receive this message and you are going on a flight in a short period of time, you might respond to this because it's worded so well. So if you're in receipt of that message, our advice is do not interact whatsoever, because if you do, if you reply by way of text, it proves to the scammers that your number is active and you're going to receive a lot more of those types of messages. You just delete it. But if you click the link, there's going to be a problem. And I would advise you to take your device to your local IT business here in Mackay. They're all good. We know, and we work with a lot of them. They're as good as anywhere else down in Brisbane. Take it in, get it scanned, and get whatever has happened in there removed, whatever virus is.
If you get the message and before clicking on that link, should you call the airline? Should, like, what are the is there any telltale signs on the website?
The presence of the link is I did some research on this myself, and all the airlines are saying the same thing. If we're going to send you a text message, we're not necessarily going to give you a link to interact with. So their advice is use our authentic apps. If you download our apps on your device, use that to confirm, you know, check-in times and carry-on luggage, et cetera, et cetera. Or if you don't have the app, use their website yourself. Source that information. Don't rely on those dodgy messages. Please don't.
Three quarters of those messages, they're not worded correctly anyway. Like, you can tell straight away if they're saying your flight and they put YOU apostrophe RE, it's like you are flight.
Plus Dave spelled this message.
It's like we often message and we probably litter our own messages on Facebook Messenger with spelling errors, but we're used to it. But this one is not like that.
Okay.
This one is not like
so
that.
So they're actually getting smarter when it comes to the spelling and the positioning of our messages.
It's a better quality one, that's for sure. And that's where it's catching people out.
Well, it's nice to be flagged with that this morning. Thank you, Steve, as always. Good to hear from you. And congratulations on the awards. We want to see them in the studio next time.
Yeah.
Thank
Chicken
you,
tape parade.
I feel like that's probably not warranted. I mean, it is warranted, I mean.
I think so.
All right, thank you. You can hear that again on the listener app, LISTNR, and hear that again. Again, it's very vital. And share it with people you might need to share that with who do fly in and fly out of Mackay.
Jay and Dave for breakfast.
Mackay and the Wit Sundays, Triple M.
Kelsey in Cannonvale, who legit sent us an email 2 days ago. Which reads,
Hi, Jane Dave. Can I vent my frustration? I work in the CBD of Airlie Beach, and the amount of oversized SUVs and utes that clog up the main street is ridiculous. How do your listeners feel about a ban on these vehicles? They take up a big space and hard to navigate around. If not banned, then definitely a bigger parking fee for the drivers if in paid parking. I think this would be a good solution for Airlie and Mackay CBDs. Kelsey in Cannonvale, I think we've just lost her as a listener.
Oh, well.
To be honest with you.
But look, when she says ban, is she saying ban the cars or ban them from parking in the CBD?
I think it's more banning them from the CBD.
Like I said before, if you do that, there goes people coming in. We're already struggling to get people into our city centres.
Oh, yeah.
How are you going to do? How are you going to try and navigate through that if you're banning cars?
Well, that's true. Ridiculous. There's no rail lines into the CBDs.
But
there's buses, but they're a bit infrequent.
There may be people out there who have the same opinion as Kelsey. We'll go to Nadine this morning, St. Helens Beach. G'day, Nadine.
Hey, how you going, Jake?
Yeah, good. Do you agree with this, disagree with this, your thoughts?
Well, if you take all the four-wheel drives and the big cars and the utes out of the CBD, there's not going to be anyone in there. Because if you go to Airlie, the majority of the cars in early are four-wheel drive or ute.
100%.
Or even vans, work vans. So,
but not only that, it's they're the vehicles of choice for Australia.
Of course.
Well, yeah. Look at our roads.
Well, we used to have a ute years ago, never used it to ute stuff, but we had it because it looked good. So I feel like we all choose those cars because they're sexy. That's what it is.
You didn't do any ute stuff.
No, we didn't ute stuff at all. Thank you, Nadine. 133353. We'll go to
Janine in Serena. Your thoughts.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good. No, we shouldn't ban them. The council just needs to get their act together and make the parking spaces larger.
So you all agree
because
with that.
I read a survey not so long ago on Google that Mackay actually had the highest rating of four-wheel drives in the whole of Queensland, believe it or not.
And I've heard that same thing as well, but it's not just our local council. It's all councils across the country who probably do need to look at making those car spaces bigger because those vehicles now, they are getting bigger and bigger. So I think you're absolutely right.
And they just want to squeeze more cars into the city centre, and that's why they shorten them up.
That's exactly right. But in Serena, if you go to Woolworths and you've got four-wheel drives parked either side of the parking spots, you actually have a hard time backing out.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
And it's even the disability car parking spaces that are not as big as what they should really be.
We should. Yeah, I think you're right. Like looking at a space where you can park those vehicles or making those spaces bigger would be to say to ban those vehicles from going into a city centre is ridiculous.
Yeah, good on you, Janine. Thank you. Right in North Mackay, I'm pretty sure you're going down the same track here, aren't you?
No, I'm not banning, but we need to ban calling them trucks because they're not bloody trucks.
No, they're not. They're SUVs or utes.
I think it's more of a compensation thing.
what do you drive, Rod?
Hey, mate, look, and all these people, half those people who drive those things are probably rave on about the environment, yet they're driving four drives that 90% of them probably don't even see off-road. So what's the point?
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Yeah. I've got an SUV. I've never used it for off-roading at all.
Yeah, but you've got a small SUV. Yeah, that's the thing.
It's not a massive one. But thank you, Rod.
Amanda in Rural View, are you driving a ute at the moment?
Not at the moment, but I do have a Prado.
Okay. Your Prado. So if what's this woman's name again? Kelsey. If Kelsey says to get rid of or ban those vehicles from, shopping in CBDs and that kind of thing, which is ridiculous, your thoughts on that? How would that affect you?
Well, I wouldn't be going in, which then I'm not spending money in the CBD and then shops are missing out.
Correct.
Okay. It's got nothing to do with the size of the car. It's the parks. The councils need to resize parks because obviously vehicles are getting bigger because we need them for the roads and rural living. So they need to make sure they have larger parks for larger cars.
Also, not just councils, but I think local businesses as well on private property. So if you've got people coming into your private property and outside of the council jurisdiction, they should be widened as well. So then you can include more customers into those shops or those locations.
Yeah, that's correct. Like everyone that, designs all these building spaces and that sort of thing in the car parks, they're not designing the car parks well enough.
Yeah, true.
This could be a very good marketing ploy for a business. Just to widen up those spaces a little bit for everyone.
It's like growing with the times. There was talk a few years ago where they were saying airlines are going to try and extend their the seats a little wider and the seat belts a little longer because as we do have an issue with people being overweight. So they were saying this is one way we can combat that. I mean, just go with me here for a second. You have to adapt to the audience or the clientele that you've got.
Yeah.
So if you've got more people in this country and in Queensland buying bigger cars, then you would have to look at bigger car spaces, right?
So humans are getting fatter, so too are the cars. Is that what you're trying to say?
Probably.
Jay and Dave for breakfast.
Mackay and the Wit Sundays, Triple M.
Dave, you know that I'm a bit of a TikToker. I was,
is that what you called a TikToker?
A social influencer for the five people who follow me. On social media and of course on the telly in the last few days, we've seen, and it's been around for a while, America looking at getting rid of TikTok. But if that happens, apparently Australia will follow suit. I did hear Anthony Albanese saying there's no plan to do it. Peter Dutton says it should be looked at.
Well, they've already banned it from government phones, haven't they?
Apparently so. But yeah. What does it mean if we do get rid of TikTok for America and Australia? That's a big question.
Well, that's the reason why we've got a professor on with us, because we don't know squats. Matt Warren, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, in your world of expertise, being the Director of Center of Cybersecurity Research and Innovation at RMIT, what does TikTok-less society mean for us?
Well, the example we can look at is India, because India's actually banned TikTok. So if you're in India, you can't use TikTok at all or get access to it. So what's happened is literally what they do is that they take TikTok off the app stores. So, you know, Apple Store, Google Play, and they geotag it. So, you know, you're not able to download it. But what that means is you still have TikTok on your phone. It doesn't delete it from your phone. But what happens then is you don't get access to apps and updates when, you know, they update TikTok.
Yeah.
But what's happened in India is people then use VPN to access TikTok from other countries.
Tricky.
So what's happened, you know, using the Indian model, you know, is that it has worked, but there's also, you know, workarounds around it. So in terms of Australia, you know, there's 8.5 million active users of TikTok. So, you know, a large number of people that would be influenced. And I suppose that's also the concern, is the politics of it, because 8.5 million people, a lot of them would vote, you know, in terms of how upset that they would be that they lose TikTok, whether, you know, it becomes an election issue.
But is it a security risk for our country, though, like America is saying it is for their people?
Yes. So what's happened in America is the Americans haven't banned it. So what's happened is the House of Representatives has put up a bill or passed an act. Whether it actually be implemented isn't known. But what they're concerned about is your TikTok phone app on your phone extracts a lot of other information, such as, you know, contact lists, you know, potentially access to other features of your phone. There's concern that the TikTok algorithms that sort of generate your feed is being used to share fake news and harmful content. And there's been a lot of stories about, you know, teenagers involved in self-harm and blaming TikTok, you know, feeding them. The other concern is that TikTok's owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance, and they're an AI data analytics company. And they have the ability, you know, to analyze and extract meaning from vast volumes of data. And the worry is, what will they do with the data? Because in China, there's the Chinese Intelligence Act that all Chinese companies have to share any requests for information with the Chinese government.
That's deep.
And there's a billion people using TikTok around the world. So ByteDance have access to lots and lots of information.
Yeah, that's scary. That is very scary.
Yeah, look, the only thing they'll see from my phone is recipes to taste.com.au. And no nudes, because I've got nobody to send them to.
But when it comes to, so in your opinion, do you think that we should be getting rid of TikTok?
I in my opinion, yes, because I think there's the concerns about the app itself. There's the concerns about the influence that ByteDance, you know, could potentially have upon a billion people. You know, people have a very intimate connection with their mobile phone. You know, it's the first thing they check when they wake up in the morning, the last thing they check before they go to sleep. You know, people use TikTok the whole time, and the potential influence of that app, you know, is immense in terms of how people use it.
Professor Matt, yes or no answer on this one. Don't have to go really into it, but does MySpace still have that same issue with security issues or what?
No.
No one's even using MySpace.
Well, that's good. Let's go to MySpace.
Well, it's only time will tell. We did hear Anthony Albanese say that, you know, there's no plan to get rid of TikTok at this stage. But as I said, Mr. Dalton said this morning on Luke Boner's night shift that it's time to get rid of that too. Right. Anyway, all the details, triplem.com.au. Professor Matt Warren, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Appreciate your
time.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And your expertise. You can hear that again on the Listener app. Crazy, isn't it?
It is very crazy, yeah.
All right. Hopefully we don't get rid of it.
Well, you're at, what, $6,000 a post, aren't you?
That's what the going rate is. I wish I was.
Jay and Dave for breakfast.
Mackay and the Whit Sundays, Triple M.